Yes, joining us on the Ben and Skin Show right now, the great John Daniels. How you doing today, JD?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing really well. We're out in beautiful Oxnard, California, covering Cowboys camp. But, of course, our mind is always on Texas Rangers baseball. And I got to tell you how exciting it's been to see the resurgence of Rougned Odor. And just another example of you guys showing patience with a guy and having that pay off. What do you think is the key to the turnaround for Odor? And I guess the hardest question is do you think this is sustainable?
Yeah, I think the question for me is I don't really think this is so much of a turnaround that I think this is what he's capable of. I think he, you know, what we've got to do is avoid the long slumps in the first place, which is kind of obvious and easier said than done. But I think a lot of it for me is this off season and just the work he puts in. Ruggie likes to, you know, get away and go home, and then certainly it's prerogative to be with his family. But, you know, I think there's the challenge for us is to design an off-season program for him that gets him into a good spot coming in, and so that we don't, you know, have to go through what we went through this year.
You know, as we let's see, we got early August. So as this thing unfolds, and you call up a bunch of guys here in September, what do you think is going to be going on in the outfield? Like, what is the goal for the remainder of the season aside from winning games? What is the goal for who's going to be in the outfield and how they're going to be used?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little bit of Woody playing matchups and Woody putting guys in position to succeed. You know, obviously we're seven back of the wild card. I don't know why I couldn't say that. And then you got Tampa and Cleveland playing really well ahead of us, Oakland playing well. You know, I guess my point is I'm very cognizant of where we are in the standings and realize it's in it, you know, a statistical long shot, but you know, we're not like giving up by any stretch. I think, you know, we'll get Sean Kelly back here. I think that bringing up the young guys was not just designed to take a look at guys. I think we're going to play better. We've got to take advantage and really play well here in August. Our schedule only gets tougher in September, but so my point there is that while we want to get a look at guys, we also want to play, you know, the group that gives us the best chance going out. We want to play competitive baseball, whether it ends up with us making a run or not. I think it's going to benefit us long term to play, you know, competitive games and not to you know, not to roll over at all. So it'll be a little bit of a rotation. Guys will get different looks, but you know, Woody's also going to play the guys that are most deserving.
JD, how do you evaluate Danny Santana's future considering this year that he's having is somewhat out of nowhere? I mean, obviously he was really good early in his career, but how do you balance this incredible 2019 with the fact that there's not a huge track record?
It's a great question. Yeah, I think the good thing for us is that we have a little bit of runway to make any sort of big decisions, meaning that, you know, he's going to be under control through arbitration for a couple of years before he's eligible for free agency. I think a couple of things with Danny, you know, one is just a really unique skill set. You just don't find guys that do what he does. The switch hit, the power from both sides, the ability to play all over the diamond, run, throw, etc. Two is, you know, there is pedigree here. He hasn't been great for a few years, but this guy was, you know, a very highly touted young player coming up in the Twin system. Could really play short, really hit, had a good rookie season, and then struggled. So it's not, you know, totally out of the blue. And the other piece that there's a lot of kind of process type statistics that suggest what he's doing is real. I mean, you've got some concern just on the walk strikeout piece, but you know, he's really managed the bats pretty well. He is a bit of a free swinger, but he doesn't swing and miss a ton out of the zone. And you know, ultimately, like I think we had opportunities to trade him. Teams called us on him. We decided that now wasn't the time, that we wanted to see it through with Danny a little bit longer because, you know, we believe in the guy.
John Daniels joining us on the Ben and Skin Show. What is the latest on Taylor Hearn? I saw that he's been shut down again, and I'm really not fully sure what's been going on with him the last couple of weeks. Can you update us on him?
Yeah, he didn't feel comfortable. He was throwing live BP. He'd gotten out to three or four innings, and, you know, the velo wasn't all the way there. It wasn't. You know, Taylor didn't really feel any pain, but just, it didn't feel right to him. Dr. Meister examined him, did a scan, and I think the good news is that the ligament appears to be healthy. There was some inflammation around the joint that he wanted to give some time to cool off. But just one of those things. Some guys come back quickly from it. Other guys take longer, and unfortunately with Taylor, like, this one's taking a little longer than we hoped. And, you know, the downside is we've lost pretty much all this year from a development standpoint. Hopefully, if the diagnosis is accurate, then he should be able to get back and compete for a spot in spring training.
You know, I don't really know exactly how to ask this question. We kind of touched on some of it earlier, but I'm just going to dive in. It certainly feels like something has changed with Nomar Mazara, whereas at least from the outside looking in, that maybe his spot every day isn't as firm there as it used to be. And not that the organization is abandoning Nomar Mazara by any means. It feels like there's been an adjustment in the thinking there. Can you understand that perception at all? And is that at all accurate? Yeah. Even though that's a tough question.
Yeah, no, I think I get it, and I think it is accurate. It's that, I think a couple things. You know, one, you know, Nomar got to the big leagues at 20 years old and performed well out of the gate. And you know, we're always kind of evaluating people against expectations, but also against not just like perception, but against reasonable expectations. And so when you get there at 20, 21 years old, you produce, you know, there's an expectation that there's, you know, some upward trajectory. And he's been a solid contributor, but he's been, you know, he's kind of stagnated from a production standpoint. And I think the conversations we've had with Nomar, and he agrees with us, is that his potential is above his production to this point in his career. I think the other, so we've had those conversations. He understands it, and he's looking to try to, you know, make some adjustments and put some things in play to improve. I think the other thing is that, you know, the level of competition has just increased. You know, some of our young guys are reaching the big leagues that are on the verge of it, that are deserving of looks as well. Willie's, you know, very good hitter in his own right, and that's the other piece of it. So it's a little bit more competitive, and that's why you're kind of feeling what you're feeling. You're seeing what you're seeing, I should say.
John, the pitcher you guys acquired last week from Atlanta, Allard, I guess pitched, was it Friday night maybe? And I saw early results were good. Can you kind of tell us what went on with him Friday night?
Yeah, he threw well for Nashville. Kind of came out super aggressive on the mound. I mean, I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch because he's one of these pitchers that as soon as he releases the pitch, he's looking for the ball from the catcher. He's back up on the rubber. He's waiting on the hitter. He really, you know, kind of controls the tempo. I think our fans will like that. I think our defenders will like that. I got a chance to watch it on the MILB website there, and similar to the reports of our staff, I mean, it's a little, I think he has a reputation of being like kind of a finesse lefty. He's really not. It was solid stuff. I mean, it's fastballs kind of 91, 94 pitches, both up and down with it side to side. He's got his curveball that was really his pitch out of high school. He still has it. Wasn't quite as consistent as it's been. He's come up with a little cutter, kind of morphs into a slider, and he's got a good changeup. So he really kind of attacked hitters from pitch one. Had a bunch of punch outs early in the game. Ended up punching out, I think, 8 and 5 innings. And he's fun to watch. So he's a guy that, you know, we're going to look to probably take a look at here in the big league sooner than later.
Hey, I just wanted to clarify something too. What a great year for Joey Gallo, and obviously he tailed off before, you know, he went on the injured list with the broken hamate bone. But just to be clear, do you think that's what the tail off was all about? That he was dealing with that, or are they unrelated?
I do think it was. I didn't totally realize it. He said kind of after the fact that it had been bugging him a little bit. On and off, really since the previous trip to Seattle, and then on that one swing, you could see it where he grimaced, like the bone broke. So my guess that it had probably been either a small fracture or a bruise that, you know, guys play through stuff all the time and don't realize what that something's really wrong, and then it broke. So, you know, he's in a really good state of mind right now, really just kind of waiting for the wound itself to heal up. Because it's not a major surgery. They basically go in and they take out this piece of bone. and there's not a whole lot other going on. So once this thing heals up, he'll start. He's doing like one-handed swings right now. He'll be able to swing, you know, fully, and he's already able to lift and that stuff. So he wants to come back. I think he wants to finish out the season as you know, we certainly do too. So I think, I don't know exactly how many weeks it'll be, but sometime early to mid-September, I think we'll see him back.
So, man, we love having you on our show. Have loved it for many years. Somebody who listens to a lot of our interviews had noticed something. They said, hey, I noticed JD when he's describing strikeouts on your show. You know, he could say it any number of ways. He could say K. I mean, there's a million different ways to say it, but he thinks that you tend to lean towards punch out as being your favorite way. So what are all the ways in which you could describe a strikeout, and why is punch out your favorite if it is?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know why. I definitely do say that. No, there's no meaning behind it. Yeah, ode to the Mike Tyson game or something. I don't know. Yeah.
I like it. It's kind of a punctuator. It's kind of punch out. Mm-hmm. You know, it just sounds cool. But yeah. do you're surrounded by baseball people all day. Do you hear it a bunch of different ways?
Yeah. I mean, guys, I guess guys do talk about it different ways. But, like, I try not to but the guys that have grown up playing the game, minor league, big leagues, like, they have certain, like, terminology that I try to stay away from, because I feel like it would be trying too hard if I use some of it. So I don't think punch out's one of them. I don't know. Maybe
no.
I got to think about that a little more.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Are you talking about, like, do you have an example of what you might be talking about? What a ball player would say?
Just a very basic one. You'll hear guys, you know, say he rakes or
right.
You know, that sort of a thing. And I'm sure I've used it from time to time, but for the most part, I'll hear, like, we're having development meetings today, and, like, Kenny Holmberger, like, you know, his dad played the game, coach, he played the game, he has certain terminology, or Michael Young, or all these guys, or Dwayne Murphy, certain terminology that you know, they've been around, like, players in the game for 20, 30 years, you know, and so, and in clubhouses and whatever, and there's certain ways that you hear them talk, and you can usually kind of understand, like, that, you know, the guy played the game a long time.
That's really cool. I'm really fascinated by that. But I think that's also that thoughtfulness is kind of what makes you who you are. Hey, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to catching up.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There goes John Davis. I just think that shows an intelligence and a thoughtfulness on his part, you know, to say, hey, that sort of terminology belongs to people that played the game.
Right.
And I don't want to appear that I'm trying too hard. I'll just talk how I talk.
Right.
And I just have a lot of respect for that. I think
he's
that's
not
really
fronting,
cool.
B.
He ain't fronting, yo. No, it's really good. Really, really good stuff.